Welcome to Business Systems. Now, again, we're going to focus on business here. These ideas can be applied to any area of your life. This could be applied to cleaning your house or running systems with your kids or whatever it is, relationships. Even if you're an employee, like it doesn't matter what you're involved with, a workout plan. If you have systems, you understand how to be far more efficient. Now, there's a huge difference between working on your business and working in your business. If you're working in your business, you're basically a tradesperson, the stereotypical tradesperson. The stereotypical tradesperson is somebody who does something really well, and so they don't trust anyone else to do it, and they do it themselves. And at the end of their working career, they don't have a business, they have a job. And no one wants to buy a job. If you have a business where you have to run a major part of it, you don't have something you can sell. And this is why. Because when you try to sell it, who wants to buy a job? No one wants to buy a job. They want to buy a business. And a business are the systems. That's what you're buying. You're buying how smoothly something is run or the quality of an idea. So it doesn't matter if you do your job really well, you're simply an employee of yourself, and most likely your boss is a jerk, and it's yourself. Because you don't know how to treat yourself properly. You're not giving yourself the right wage, and you're not treating yourself to holidays and taking care of yourself in different ways. So we're gonna get into business systems here. Again, these systems can be applied to anywhere. These are just the essentials, and I'm only gonna get through a few of the systems in this first video. In the next video, I will get through the rest. So we'll start off with this. Now, know that before I get into this, it can be a really difficult system or a really difficult concept for most people. What do I mean by that? We believe we are the best at what we do. Most of us believe we're really good at what we do. Often we are fearful and control freaks. We have difficulty trusting others. Now, if you believe you're really good at what you do, or you're fearful, or you're a control freak, or you have difficulty trusting others, in the end, this is going to be a very difficult thing for you to implement. So what's the paradigm or the belief here? Let's go back to what you learned in paradigm and beliefs. Identify what's holding you back. Now, that's important. More importantly, you need to identify, but you really need to take action on this. It's really important to start taking action on the concepts you're learning. So you know what, even if you don't understand all of what's holding you back with this, start taking action, and you will most likely learn a lot of what's holding you back as you start taking action. So taking action is always something that you can do to learn and grow, as long as you're learning from your failures, because you will make failures, and that's fantastic. Know that when you're implementing business systems or systems in any area of your life, you'll be busier in the beginning. So many of my clients go, "Mark, but I'm too busy for this." And this is what I would argue. You're too busy not to do this. Because if you continue doing the business the way you're doing, if you continue running your life and your relationships and your workout routine or whatever it is, in the way that you're doing things currently, you're going to basically kill yourself. You're never going to have more time. You never free anything up. It's like constantly being in debt. You need to take action in some new way. If you're in debt, you need to start paying down the debt. You need to start, maybe you take a part-time job for a period of time to make a little bit more money, and even though it's all disappearing, you pay off your debt, you invest a little bit, now you're going to be taken care of for the rest of your life. In the same way in your business, if you don't have enough time, you need to invest more time more efficiently. And once you start investing time more efficiently, you will actually have more time in your day. Whether this makes sense or not, trust me with it, you will save ridiculous amounts of time later on if you implement systems into your business. So what are the essential systems? Here are the essential systems according to me. You talk to different business coaches or executive coaches, and they'll probably give you a different answer to this. I don't think there is a right or wrong way. It's how we understand it. It's like if you ask six psychologists about the mind, you're going to get different answers. It's not that they're wrong. They have different perspectives on this. Okay, so one system is research and development. The next is marketing. A third is sales. And many people put marketing and sales together. A fourth is money. Or cash flow, and the fifth is people and people management. And this includes both employees as well as customers and clients. So you can develop systems quite easily. Here's the thing. You don't have to develop your own systems. You can have someone else develop it for you. And I'm going to be running through the basics here, and you will get a ton of value if you pay attention and implement what I'm talking about today. Having said that, know that if you are struggling with a system, if you want to shorten the time frame that you're working on a system, hire somebody, hire a coach. And that can be somebody else, that could be myself. But find somebody that is really useful, someone that understands this stuff, and someone who can implement it for you, and you are going to save time and you will earn more money. Why? Because the faster you start running your business, the more efficiently you run your business, the sooner you will make more money. And the sooner you get to making a few more tens of thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars in your business, the sooner that happens, the sooner you're able to do other things you need to do or want to do, okay? Here's the other thing. You can hire somebody, an employee who's really good at something. So for example, we're gonna talk about research and development right at the beginning. Let's not talk about that. I'll give you an example of like a virtual assistant. Let's say you hire a virtual assistant and they're really good at what they do. If they're really good at what they do, hire them, or not hire them, pay them time to create videos and systems for you and what they're doing. Because when you've got someone really good and they're developing things, and I'll talk about this in the next slide, when they're developing things really well, what will happen is now you have videos and documents, checklists, whatever they are, to give to the next person that's coming along. When that virtual assistant leaves or that whoever leaves, you've got the next person. We see stuff like this all around, all the time, okay? As far as research or as far as systems go, a lot of people think it slows down. Actually, it speeds things up, especially checklists or something like that. But we see systems around us all the time. An example is pilots have books they walk through before each and every flight. They walk through the same stuff. They go through the checklist, and that way they're not missing anything. And it's fairly important because you want to live on a plane. You don't want to die on a plane, right? You want to make it sure you make it through the flight. And those systems, even though these pilots know what they're doing, following a system that they already understand helps them make sure they're not missing anything, which is extremely important. I'll give you a really simple example. Have you ever been in the bathroom and you see a list for employees to make sure they haven't missed anything when they cleaned? I worked at McDonald's when I was 14 and 15 years old for I think a year and a half, 2 years around that. And I learned about training. We would watch a simple video. So I remember the actual McDonald's that I was in where I worked close to home. I could walk there from my house. But we would walk down to the basement of this McDonald's and we would watch a simple video. And then we would go up and practice what we learned. Then we would have a list by every machine or station that we could use to make sure we were sticking to the system. McDonald's is genius with this. This is why they can hire people with minimum wage and they can serve the same burgers and same fries and same stuff to every single person that comes in. Within 2 days of having someone work for them, they can be producing the exact same stuff to the same degree of standards that the person who worked there for 6 years did. This is crazy. And it's because they have simple systems, okay? And it's one of the most powerful food chains on the planet, right? So again, I'm gonna talk about that again. We would watch a simple video, then we'd go up and practice what we learned, and we'd have a checklist. If you simply use that system to train new people in your organization or have people follow directions that you're giving them, it would be so much easier for you rather than you trying to walk them through it every time, which wastes your time and you're going to forget things at different times. So if you want to walk your employees through different things, you need to have a checklist, okay, to go through everything that you need to keep in mind. So I talked about the next slide and how it would be useful in some way. Here's the question. How do you make a sandwich? How do you make a sandwich? If I asked you, I want you to write me a list of, like a checklist of how you, a step-by-step process of how you make a sandwich. Most people that do this for me, most people when I tell them to do this, they do something like this. They say, get the bread, meat, vegetables, and cheese out of the fridge and condiments, put them together, and eat the sandwich. Maybe cut it in half. That's typically what I get from people, okay? But think about how if somebody had never made a sandwich, how you would instruct them. Maybe someone, like, think about like an alien from another planet. How would you instruct them? And I put together a list of many steps to show you how to break things down on such a simple level that anyone could make a sandwich. Anyone. So number one, think about the type of sandwich you want to make. Number two, put your shoes and jacket on, walk out the door, making sure to bring your keys, your car keys. Number three, open the trunk and make sure there is enough room for the supplies you will be buying. Number four, make sure the brake is off and then drive to the supermarket on 5th and Main. Make sure you take Bridge Street and park the vehicle on the west side of the parking lot to make sure to park with your front end first rather than backing in because you'll need access to your trunk. Number five, choose a cart that has wheels that won't wobble. Otherwise, you will shake up your can of pop, but you don't need to mention this to the employee, right? You can maybe just have reasons for everything and explain it to people initially, but after that, simply expect that things are done as you've laid them out. So in your checklist, you don't necessarily have to have don't shake up your can of pop, it's because the pop will explode. What you can do is for number five, simply say, choose a cart that has wheels that don't wobble. Number six, first travel to the bread section and choose a loaf of multigrain bread. Make sure to check the date and choose the loaf that is the freshest. Now we're on step six right now, right? And I could even add more steps in here. Maybe as you're following along, you would see more steps as I talk. But I could go on and on and on with this, could I not? Let's maybe fast forward here, okay? Maybe step number 25, take two pieces of bread out of the bag. Step number 26, use a butter knife in the right cupboard to butter each piece. Step 27, take two pieces of Genoa salami and place them evenly on one of the pieces of bread. Step 28, place one piece of lettuce on top of the salami. Step 29, place one slice of tomato on the piece of bread that only has butter on it. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Make sure when you are writing in your systems to be very specific. Once somebody has learned a system well, once they've trained in this and they've learned this, or if it isn't as important to monitor each step, you can have basic options. So for example, maybe once somebody understands a system, you could say, go to X store and purchase bread, salami, lettuce, and butter. Number two, wash your hands. Number three, make the sandwich. Number four, cut it and remember to smile because you're having a happy day or whatever, right? Like now you can simplify the steps once somebody understands the system, but now you've got a checklist. I've had clients before. There was one employee that I had, and actually I'm running into this, I ran into this again not very long ago, but I've had a couple of clients where they were really having trouble with their employees. One of them had an employee that was fantastic at what they were doing, and they struggled because they would miss steps every once in a while. So they were good with employees, other employees, they were good at training people, they were good at with their customers, with all this other stuff. And yet they would miss a step every once in a while, and so people would have to go back and do the job. And this was costing the employer quite a bit of money because of these missteps. And they were talking about letting this employee go. And I said, hey, listen, honestly, the same exact situation happened to somebody just recently. What I told this person was, instead of firing this person, simply get another employee or yourself to write out a checklist. Then this employee just goes through the checklist really quick before they leave a property. And before he leaves a property, he can see exactly what he needs to do. He checks it. He does the last thing that he needs to do that he typically forgets, and he moves on. And with simply a checklist, with simply a system, all of a sudden people are able to do things in a really unique way where everyone is satisfied rather than having people that are really frustrated with you, okay? So that's kind of the introduction to systems. Now let's get into some systems. I probably won't get through all of them in this first video. I'll cut it off after a few, and then we'll get into the last ones in the second video. So research and development is the first system. Every business, no matter what your business, if you want to run a good, profitable business that values people and engages with the world and grows in dynamic ways, needs research and development. So what is research and development? It's basically what you are bringing to the marketplace. So I'm going to ask you right now, what do you bring to the marketplace? This will most likely tie into your why, which is the reason we spent so much time on your why. So what do you need to focus on? What can you do to improve the customer experience? Let's go through this, okay? The few steps here. So one question you need to ask is, what is your product? Now you might say, Mark, I don't have a product, I have a service. I'm gonna argue that any service is a type of product. It's something that somebody is buying, okay? So it's a product. Regardless of the semantics though, I'm gonna ask you, what is your product? What do you give? What is the value that you bring to somebody? Secondly, how can you make it better? How can you bring more value to your customers in whatever way is possible? There are so many ways you can do this, and I could probably go into a bunch of different examples here. I'm probably not gonna go to a bunch of examples. What I'll simply say is ask your clients every once in a while, hey, what else could I do to serve you? Or ask yourself, what is nobody doing for this type of client that I could do and bring more value? Okay, that's research and development. Thinking about this, thinking through it, and then bringing it to your marketplace. Next, who are you serving? How are you serving people? And how can you serve them better? These are really, really important questions. I don't want to skip over this. Let them sink in a little bit. You need to understand your product. You need to understand who you're serving. And then you need to ask yourself how you can serve them better. And as you ask yourself these questions consistently, you will start to come up with ideas. This is actually something that I do constantly. In the mornings, I will spend a few minutes and write down 5 new ideas. Now, I'll give you some new action steps here in a second. But I write down a few new ideas. Now, some people go, well, how, listen, like I'm an accountant. I'm an accountant. How in the world am I going to do research and development? Or I have a service, I'm a coach. How do I do research and development? If you learn to iterate and invent, you will make more money because you're bringing more value. So I'll tell one story here. This idea I got from Earl Nightingale, who was a fantastic coach on many different levels and helped people with personal development. He told the story about a gas store owner. So this is decades ago, where a gas store owner had a gas station. People would come for gas. And as he was watching these people, often while their car was being filled with gas, their vehicle filled with gas, they would simply be kind of standing around waiting. And he had the thought, wait a second, these people have money in their pockets. They have nothing to do right now. And if I had other things for them to buy, they might buy them. So what he started to do was he started to sell other things in his store. Started to sell other things that were helpful for the car. Then he started to sell other stuff, like things that weren't even related to vehicles, like chocolate. He started to sell fish bait. He started to sell fish hooks and tackle and all these other things. And people started buying more from him while they were waiting for their vehicle. So simply by entertaining them, giving them something to think about and purchase, he was bringing value. So for him, even though it wasn't related to his, like, filling the car with gas directly, he was serving people. And as he brought value in different ways, people got it. Now, again, we go to gas stations now for simple things because we know they're open at all hours and that we can get things. Now, is it more expensive? Yes, it's more expensive. That's fine. We're willing to pay it if we need things on a really quickly. And you can buy soup from gas stations. You can buy a whole bunch of weird things from gas stations, right? Make sure you're meeting the people's needs that you're serving. So again, if you're a coach, how can you serve people better? How can you make the experience better? If you were an accountant, like I said, how could you do research and development? Again, well, here, I'm just going to the next slide and get into this, okay? Because I have a few action steps. First is the 5 new ideas exercise. So if you think about your business on a daily basis, every day, you write down 5 new ideas that could serve your clients better. You will start to come up with great ideas. Now, I'm going to tell you a secret, or maybe this is a warning, I'm not sure which. In the beginning, you might have a few ideas, and then again, just like as you're trying to work out gratitude and work on your mind in different ways, your mind will get tired and you'll start really struggling for new ideas. You need to train your brain to do this well. As you train your brain to do this well, you will begin to have better ideas. So at the beginning, most of your ideas will probably be junk. Some of them might be okay. Most of them will probably be junk. That's fine. You need to train your business to think like a client and or customer and bring more value to them. So as you do this exercise, if you do it every day, this is my commitment to you. If you do this exercise every day for a month, 5 new ideas to bring value to your clients or customers. If you do this every day for a month, you will have a few ideas at least out of there that make your business stand out far beyond other businesses around them. Really, really important point if you practice this consistently. Next is masterminding. Spend time with other people in business and ask them, how do you do research and development? How do you come up with new ideas and bring them to market? How do you tell what is valuable for a customer? There's a third thing you could do, and that's co-opetition. So go to people who work in your field. If you are an accountant, go to other accountants. So many people are afraid to go to their competition because they go, oh, these people won't help me. You know what? The good people will. The good people realize that there's enough business for everybody. So find people in your industry that are forward thinkers, that are great minds, that are building great businesses, and work with them and go, hey, listen, how could we all bring this to market? How could we do things in a different way that help? Here's what you will just start discover. Some people are going to niche. Even though you're in the same industry, you guys will have your different niches, and now you can hand business to them and they can hand business to you. You will actually make more money from this. As crazy as that sounds. Okay, next, marketing and sales. And again, I put it together here. I separated it at the beginning. Most people put it together. The reason I separated it is because most people don't understand what marketing is. They understand what sales is. They don't understand what marketing is. Now, we talked about that in a previous video, so I won't get into it here. But here's what I'm going to do. If you want to develop systems for your marketing, you have to ask yourself, what are the metrics you will use to measure success? What will you look at? What are the numbers you're going to look at to measure whether you are successful in your business or not? How will you know whether something is successful for you? How do you know whether a marketing campaign will work for you? Think through this. What are the numbers that you're going to look at? Now, what if you are managing a marketer? What if you hire a marketer for your business? I'm really going to focus on marketing right now, okay? I'll talk about sales a little bit, but really my focus is going to be on marketing because, again, most people know about sales. They don't know about marketing. What if you were to hire a marketer to do your work for you? Now you need a system to manage your marketer. Again, what are the metrics you will use to measure success? Have a conversation with them. You cannot expect, no matter how professional somebody is, you cannot expect, it's unfair to expect that they're going to treat your business like their own. They don't have the same interest in your business that you do. So if you hire somebody to do something for you, make sure that you're managing that marketing team or that marketer. Spend time asking them and coming up with systems with them of saying, how are we measuring success? What is success? This is the same thing you would do for yourself. Next, make sure that you are gaining referrals and testimonials and have a system for this. Okay? Have an efficient way that you gain referrals and testimonials and then send them out. For example, the best time to gain testimonials is typically near the beginning of a service with somebody. Sometimes it's at the end, often it's right at the beginning. Usually it's right after something good has happened. So if you are real estate agent, what do you need to do? You need to gain that testimonial when they're moving into their house and they are so excited about this, or they know they just got a good deal or whatever. And you take a video or ask them questions. And here's a system for helping you with gaining referrals and testimonials. Make sure that you ask specific questions. If you don't ask specific questions, people will give you general, vague, terrible testimonials. The way you get a great referral or testimonial is you ask for specific information. For example, what did you specifically like about this part of what I did for you? What did you specifically gain from? What was a skill that you gained? What was whatever? You're asking very specific questions. How did my service help you in this way? When you ask those kind of questions, you're going to get far better testimonials. Next, lead follow-up. You need a system for following up on people. Now, there are CRMs all over the place. They're awful for most people. They get better and worse depending on how much you invest in them and depending how motivated you are to use them on a daily basis. If you use them on a daily basis, they're great. There are simple systems that I've seen for lead follow-up where somebody simply takes like 13 file folders and they mark them January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, right to December, and they place whatever lead they need to follow up on. They just use recipe cards. They write down the name of the person, their number, and what they need to follow up on, and then they throw it in the month that they need to follow up with them on. It's a really simple system. Now they've got 12 or 13 file folders, whatever it is, and they pull out the one that is happening right now, and they now categorize that into maybe 4 weeks, week one, week two, week three, week four of the month. And now you just pull out on every that start of every week, you pull out the recipe cards for that week, you throw them on your desk, and those are the people you follow up with. Find a system that works for you. It's going to be different for everyone. Thirdly, you need to have a system for sales scripts. This is part of your sales system. You need to have scripts. If you're doing all the sales yourself, you're an employee. You're not an employer. No matter how much you enjoy it or not. So, and even if you want to hire somebody else, you need to figure this out for yourself first. You need to figure out what works best for sales before you hire anyone. And here I'm going to give you a secret again. The tip is, if you're going to hire someone for sales, don't hire somebody who they believe they're really good at it. Don't do that, especially if you're a small business. Because most salespeople have been trained terribly. And it's a surefire way to not take care of your customers if you hire somebody who thinks they know what they're doing. Instead, hire somebody who has the right motivation and maybe doesn't have a lot of sales experience and teach them how to do it yourself. Because when they learn from day one how you want to do it for your business, they're going to do a far better job. Excuse me, they're going to do a far better job on that. Lastly, follow up after a purchase. How are you helping a client or a customer after they've already purchased something from you? How are you taking care of them? How are you adding value to those people? Consistently ask yourself, how are you doing this? Come up with a system. Okay, so some action steps. One, ask yourself consistently, what is giving you the greatest ROI on your time? Okay? In your marketing dollars, in your marketing budget, in your marketing focus, energy, what is giving you the greatest ROI? Be market specific, okay? Your market is different than other businesses and other industries. So make sure you're figuring out what works for you. Often people will say, well, what works for this other person in this industry? And maybe it's a company that's really big, or maybe it's a company that's been around for a long time. And if it started before the dawn of the internet, guess what? Their systems aren't gonna be the same as your systems. So find out what marketing gives you the biggest bang for your buck, the greatest ROI, return on investment, and then go out and produce something that works for you. Try many things, test many things, fail many times, and then find out what works best and work with it. Okay? Next, take a guru out for coffee. Even if they have started a business way like decades ago, still they're usually a wealth of knowledge. Coffee is inexpensive and extremely helpful. So ask somebody to go out for coffee with you. Do this week. Again, just choose one of these. If marketing is what you want to work on, choose one of these and go out and implement it, okay? Next, pay money for the best courses. I am serious about this. Go out and make sure you're hiring somebody very good at this. This is why. Those who become master marketers become leaders in businesses and have business really successful businesses. Marketing is one of the key aspects, key skills of having a great business. It's not having great service. That's not the most important thing. The most important thing is getting your name out there and becoming trustworthy. Now, offering good value is building trust with people. Having said that, the most important for typical businesses is marketing. It's what people who do really well in business typically understand marketing better than others, okay? This is kind of the secret. So pay money for the best courses. Rather than buying a course for a couple $100, buy a course for a few $1,000 where you've got coaching with it. Even $10,000 or $20,000. If you spend money to get a fantastic course that fits you and your business, your business will take off far quicker. Far quicker. I could go into this a lot. I won't. Trust me, when I've spent thousands of dollars on courses, I've gotten far better information on marketing than if I spend a couple hundred bucks, okay? If you're unsure about marketing or sales, which to choose, choose marketing. That's an action step, okay? Make a decision. This is the area most business owners fail at, is marketing. Even big businesses do a really terrible job of this most of the time. Lastly, record your interactions with people. Now, if you are a psychologist, this is unethical, if you're not telling people what's going on, okay? But legitimately, if you're just using this for yourself, if you are a, I don't know, like a, if you're an electrician or a plumber and you want to get better at your sales calls, guess what? Record them. Listen to them. Analyze them. This is invaluable. You will start to notice the problems. Even if you don't notice the problems, you can have a mentor in your life listen to these calls and then erase them afterwards. Don't save these calls. Don't use them for evil purposes, okay? This is simply a way for you to learn. So at most, if you want to do this in an ethical way, if you want to do it the most ethical way, you tell somebody, hey, listen, could I record this call so that I'm always getting better at helping people? Most people will say yes. Tell people you'll delete it within 2 days or 3 days or a week or whatever. And then listen to it afterwards and learn from this, okay? That's the most ethical way of doing this. Regardless, delete the calls afterwards, erase them, and simply learn and understand from them, okay? What you need to do. Next, money or cash flow. This includes many different areas. I'm not going to go into all of them. If you really want an in-depth understanding of money and cash flow and what you need to do, go to a really good accountant. Accountants are the masters of this area. Like every field, 80% of accountants are not very good at what they do. And I'm not calling accountants out here. I'm calling everyone out, whether it's coaches or accountants or real estate agents or car manufacturers or whatever it is. 80% of people that do it don't do a very good job. So make sure you're getting a good person for this. Having said that, taxes and bookkeeping is part of the money. It's part of the cash flow. So you need to ask yourself how you're doing your taxes, how you're keeping money in your business rather than giving it to the government. I really believe strongly about that. Do it ethically, do it legally, but keep as much money as you can in your business and bookkeeping. Have somebody else do your books. Most businesses should hire somebody else to do their books. Why? Because most people are awful at it and not motivated to do it properly. So if you are different in this way, you're a numbers person, you love bookkeeping, go for it. Feel free to do it. Having said that, most people shouldn't be doing this themselves, okay? Okay, I'm just gonna finish this money section and the action steps, and then I'll be done with this first video, okay? Next, your assets and your liabilities. You need to understand your numbers. You need to understand what is coming into your business and what's going out of your business. Here is a quick definition of an asset versus a liability. An asset is something that puts money into your business on a consistent basis, and I would probably say on a monthly basis. A liability is something that takes money out of your business on a consistent basis. So let's use this on the personal realm. And this is something that Rich Dad Poor Dad kind of talks about, and that's kind of where I got this idea, because it's just a really simple concept for people. Is the house that you live in an asset or a liability? Most people would think it's an asset. It's not. It's a liability. Why? Because you pay money every month and it's not going into your bank. For the amount of money you pay, only a little bit goes against the equity of your property. Plus you're paying utilities, you're paying taxes, you're paying insurance, you're paying other things. So generally speaking, a home that you live in yourself, your family lives in, is not an asset, it's a liability. How does this relate to business? A vehicle. Is a vehicle an asset or a liability? Generally speaking, it's a liability. Why? Because you're paying money on it all the time. Is a database an asset or a liability? Typically, it's an asset. Why? Because you can utilize that database to put money into your pocket and into your business on a monthly basis if you're using it properly, okay? If you don't understand this, if you don't understand exactly what's going on here, exactly what I've been talking about, that's fine. You can book a call with me, hire me to help you with this, or ask somebody else, look into assets versus liabilities in a business context, talk to your accountant to get a better understanding of this. Minute detail is very good in this area, okay? Don't waste your time if you don't like the person you're working with, but make sure that you understand your numbers. Understand your numbers. Make sure you know exactly what's coming in and what's going out of your business. understand the flow of that. So there will be seasons in your business that are stronger and weaker. That might be on a monthly basis. That might be on a yearly basis. That might be on every decade, depending on the real estate market or whatever. So understand your numbers. Understand what's going on, what's coming up. Set aside money for yourself. Set aside money for research and development. Set aside money for marketing. Set aside money for growing your business in different ways or for hard times. Make sure that you're doing this, okay? And I'll get into this in a little bit here. So action steps. Hire the best person in this area. Hire the best accountant that you've ever heard of that you know exists in your local area. Why? Because they will be, the difference between a fantastic accountant and a bad accountant or an okay accountant is so vast. It makes such a big difference in this area. And you know what? Typically, in a very small business, the fantastic accountant doesn't even cost a lot more, generally speaking. Often they will have a higher hourly wage, but often they don't. Hire the best. Next, ask a bookkeeper or accountant for their systems. Go to an accountant, and if they know what they're doing and they care about you and they care about their job, often they will spend a bit of time with you. Whether it's free or whether you have to pay for it, it's worthwhile. Ask for them. Ask for their systems. What do they do to grow their business? And sometimes they don't do a very good job of their own business. So again, this is why you need someone really good. But find out what their systems are and implement it into your own business. Okay? Was there anything else I wanted to say about that? No. Again, make sure that you're setting aside money on a consistent basis to take care of down times. There are different rules of thumb. Maybe I won't give them to you right now because I'm going to talk about them a little bit later, but maybe I'll allude to them right now. So generally people have a slush fund of like 6 to 12 months where if everything went wrong in their business, they can still pay their employees. They can still run all of their systems for the next 6 to 12 months and it wouldn't be a problem. And that's a really good habit to get into. If you go to really big companies, often they have this, really good quality companies. So like Berkshire Hathaway, the holding company, the umbrella company that Warren Buffett has, they have these huge cash reserves. I don't know how much it is. It's like hundreds of millions or even billions of dollars in cash reserves just sitting there. And some people say, well, it's not doing anything. Well, wait a second. If something goes wrong, or even if something doesn't go wrong, they can buy a new company without having to raise any money. They've just got it there. So I'll quit here. Start taking action in some of these areas. I'll finish this up in a little bit here in the next video.